something. And here, I want to get to the heart of the beauty of Jesus' sacrifice, of his cross, and the cost of it. And just to touch on this, to think about it, because it helps us. Looking at Jesus always helps us. It always helps us. I want to read firstly Mark 14:32. You don't have to turn to it. This is Garden of Gethsemane. They came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray, that if it were possible, that the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And then I want to just quickly turn to Luke. Luke 22:41. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, etc. In this moment, here's Jesus. He's disorientated. He doesn't know. He said, "Can you remove this cup from me? Please remove this cup from me." He was disorientated. But yet what Jesus was doing, and this is, I want to just get to this for ourselves, for me, is that Jesus was working for us this overarching new orientation. And he went through disorientation and he won it for us. And he said, "Not my will, Lord, but yours." He sweated drops of blood. I can't get my head around that. He sweated drops of blood in agony for you and for me to ring new orientation for our own lives, that we can relate to him so freely. He sweated drops of blood. The pressure, I mean, I've heard people say that's the pressure of sin. we don't experience that taking on the sins of the world. And he sweated drops of blood. Jesus was disorientated. And why did he do it? He was moving us towards a new orientation. And what was it? What was it that got him through that moment, I wonder? I think we see it in Hebrews. For the joy that was set before him. It's good to meditate on these things and think on these things. For the joy of death? No, the joy of new orientation. The joy of it is finished. The joy of sins paid, guilt paid for, shame paid for, forgiveness on a plate. This is what he was working for us. On the cross, what did he do? He said, "Father," cried out, "why have you forsaken me?" I think he was disorientated in those moments, just in that moment. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I think it's good to consider this. That helps me that Jesus was disorientated in ringing our new orientation. He did it for you and for me. And to him, that was a joy to please the Father and do the Father's will, and he knew what it produced for you and for me, a new orientation, and it is absolutely wonderful. And then in Hebrews it says, in that verse actually, verse 3, it says, "Consider him who endured such hostility." And I think that's part of our job. I know it's not in the Psalms because Christ hadn't come at this stage, but there was still reflection and yearning and response and nitty-gritty living in working out their life and God. And we can do that now. Consider Jesus. Consider what he did for us in bringing us to a new orientation of relationship with him. in the Alpha course on Thursday, Nikki Gumbel, we were watching the video, and at one point he said this, and it stuck with me. I love this so much, because this is it in a nutshell. The cross was not a reversal of a defeat. It was the manifestation of a victory. That's what he was doing. He was sweating drops of blood for you and for me, but because he knew he was bringing a victory in for the human race, for the human heart. And sometimes we can think our past, defeat, or you know, sins, whatever, or just stuff you've been through maybe. It's not a reversal of a defeat. He literally says, well, forget that. Here's my victory. And I think this is where we continuously need to know this. We continuously need to work out our salvation. He has manifested a victory for you and for me. And we see his heart of disorientation in the moments of ringing it to the world. He wrought it in himself, in his heart, not my will, but your will. How often do we say, my will, my will? Jesus didn't. He said, not my will, your will be done. And in the heart disorientation of the moment, he found the orientation for us. It was a manifestation of a victory. We sung about it just before at the end there. More than conquerors. And then obviously we know that after he rose from the dead, he was ascended, and then he gave the Holy Spirit. And I wrote this down because it just helps me. Thinking about where we are as church, as this church, as individuals, as a community of people. Holy Spirit, what are you doing, Lord? What's our role? What's the Holy Spirit's role? Part of the Holy Spirit's role is to orientate the church to Jesus Christ. Why we come here. That is part, a massive part of the Holy Spirit's role, as well as he wants to convict the world of sin and so on, as it says in John 8. But a massive part of the Holy Spirit's role is to orientate the church to Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 19, we had that. And the reason why I chose Psalm 19, I could have chosen loads. But we find here such stability, because we find in verse 7, it's like we get this, the title of the law, of the word, you know, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And we can relate this now. We're looking back. We can relate this to Jesus. And then we get these characteristics. Let this orientate you. And use this psalm in the future to orientate yourself to new orientation, if I could put it that way. In a world that is unstable, where Donald Trump's strange, politics is all up the creek at the moment. People are disorientated, totally and utterly disorientated by what they see as supposed leadership, governance, and casting out the governor, if I can use that expression, the Lord, the sovereign Lord. He's forgotten. He's not included. But look at this. Look at what we find here about the Lord. We get these characteristics. The Lord, he's perfect. The Lord, what he's brought, what he's done in Jesus Christ, it's perfect. He's perfect. What does it do to you and to me? This is all new orientation. It restores our soul. I love that. Jesus, and it's Psalm 23, he restores my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, is continuing to restore our souls, restore the church, mold the church into the person of Jesus Christ. All of us, with all our different gifts. This is what he's doing. He's orientating us. So he's perfect. Theresa May is not perfect. Donald Trump's not perfect. The Lord is perfect. And the result is he wants to restore my soul. The Lord, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm a simple man. But it says, the promise is that as we relate to the Lord, he'll give us wisdom. We'll become wise because we, if you like, absorb him. And we relate to him and we engage with him, we fellowship with him. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We can rejoice. These are fantastic benefits and believable truths. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I need enlightening. I want to be enlightened. I want to know more about the Lord. I want to continue to be orientated to Him. This needs orientating. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Eternal life. The Lord Jesus has wrought all these things for us. And the Holy Spirit's role in coming to the Psalms, in coming to Scripture, but the Psalms, in light of this disorientation, orientation thing, can help you orientate yourself. Use them. Meditate on them. Think on what the Lord has done for us, because it will orientate you to Him. The Holy Spirit's role is to orientate the church to Jesus Christ. The role of the church, I put this down, the role of the church with the Holy Spirit, but the role of the church is to orientate the world to Jesus Christ. So we're like in this continual relationship, fellowship with Jesus. Holy Spirit wants to orientate us to Him. That's where we start. That's we need to be related to Him. We need to have fellowship with Him. We have fellowship with one another. But then what the Bible teaches us, certainly in Paul, is that the church is therefore has a responsibility, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to orientate the world to Jesus Christ. This is the work of the church, and it is a beautiful thing. We need to point people to Jesus and give them a point of reference and bring them into this new orientation that we have in God. A few weeks ago, I was reading in Timothy, and I just thought this for our church. In light of the new building, and you know, it's great that we've got this new building just down the road. It's bigger. It's got more rooms for the kids. It can enable us to do more things with those rooms. We have more access to it through the week. We don't hear. And I read this. This is a little bit out of context, but bear with me. But it's just this phrase. This is the beginning of Timothy. And Timothy here is tackling false teaching, as a lot of the New Testament letters are. There's false teachers that are bringing in this and that and the other and mystic stuff. And Paul's saying, no, you're going away from the truth here. This is what it's about. And he says, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. And that phrase just jumped out of the page at me. Furthering the administration of God. What is the administration of God? If you look up the word administration, it talks about provision. The administration of God that Paul's talking about here is the provision of God, the provision that Jesus wrought for us in the Garden of Gethsemane on the cross, then went to the cross. That heart He had for us, and the provision that it's now gone for. The administration of God is the provision of salvation to the world. The provision of forgiveness of sins, the provision of being restored, the provision of knowing that you're cleansed, the provision of purpose, the provision of meaning, all these things, it's the administration of God. And I believe that the church building down the road is part of that. There's a furthering of the ministry of CCC, and God's doing it. He's, if you like, I won't say new orientating us anew. It's not that. It's facilitating this church to orientate the world to Jesus Christ in a new way. It's furthering the, helping to further the administration of God. That's what God's about in the earth. And the amazing thing is, how does He do that? How does the church help orientate the world outside to Jesus Christ? How does the church help? It's what Matt was sharing last week. Everyone brings their contribution. Everyone brings their gift. Everyone brings their deposit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks to you and to me, and He has different gifts and callings for our lives, and we outwork them with Him, but with each other, and then we walk in them. We become Jesus' hands and feet, and we bring our contribution, and we bring it freely. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, ultimately said, not my will, but your will. He freely gave of himself to bring in this whole salvation that we have, to bring in this new administration of God. And we can be a part of furthering it. But we have to bring our contribution. We have to bring it freely and find God to show us what's our gifting. How can I bring my contribution? What is it? This is how he does it. This is how the church is to orientate the world to Jesus Christ, with his help. Without him, we can't do it. The church is to help understand the provision of God. We're doing Alpha at the moment, and we hope that that is part of furthering the administration of God in Chester. People want to do mothers and toddlers in the new building. Furthering of the administration of God. Jesus' hands and feet reaching families, children. Oak Grange. We're going to help restore souls this afternoon. You know, I think Pete's sharing, and we're going to sing. I trust that those people in that home will feel restored and know and have an orientation to Jesus Christ, because we've gone in there with an opportunity and said, okay, well, we'd like to do that, and we've got to know them, and they're wonderful. But we can reorientate them this afternoon. That is a gift. This is all part of furthering the administration of God. And the new building, what we're going to, is part of that, I believe. I really do. As we can reorientate the world to Jesus. So, I'm going to finish in a minute. Really, I started in the Psalms, and I just want us to realize, use the Psalms to orientate yourself. If you're feeling disorientated, use the Psalms. In that psalm I read, it said, may the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Meditation has this connotation of sort of, you know, but it's not. It's thinking deeply. It might be a word. A word might just jump off at the page of you. A verse, a passage. And I think we, again, this comes down to information overload, where it can influence us, is that we can just go, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, good. Gotta go. And I think we can do that, but I think what the Psalms teach us is to know, meditate. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. Orientate myself so that I might know my contribution, that I might know you deeper, that I might know you in new ways, that I might serve you freely, understanding this new orientation that Jesus Christ has wrought for us. The psalmist, another psalm. This is just some pearls in the psalms. This is Psalm 16. I have set the Lord continually before me. That's what the psalmist said. I have set the Lord continually before me. He set him. That was a deliberate choice to maybe spend time. I don't know what ways he did it. But just generally in attitude, I have set the Lord continually before me. If I don't set the Lord, it's funny when you read these things. I mean, am I actually setting the Lord continually before me? Lord, I said, it's not that, is it? It's just that general underlying heart attitude of setting the Lord. If I didn't do that, and I'm sure this will be your testimony, I would be disorientated. I'd be lost. I'd be confused. But only through orientating myself to Jesus Christ and staying close to him and setting him will I find orientation, a new orientation, and new ways, and learn to be part of his church. I want to finish with reading this. Turn me on here. We sang a little bit of this, but with all this whole concept of orientation, new orientation, disorientation, think about this. This is Romans 8. He's been talking about our victory in Christ. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, and he intercedes for us with groanings too deep. It says all that. And then it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's orientation right there. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can be against you. Nothing can be against me. Nothing can be against the church. He who did not spare his son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? I read this and I get orientated. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, will or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will disorientation separate us from the love of Christ? The answer is no, according to Paul. Why? Just as it is written, "For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer." We sang it. "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Knowing that he loves us is our orientation. And knowing it continually. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love that passage. That orientates me. That orientates his church. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor things present." Anything present in your life that's disorientating you. You need to get into this. I want to say, you need to have the attitude of the psalmists. And you're not weak by being disorientated. You just need God. You just need outside help, because that's just the way it is. That's just the creator and the created. We need outside help. I'm going to finish. But if you're feeling disorientated now, maybe we'll just take a moment to just be quiet and think of the nitty-gritty heart state of the psalmist who just found himself, when he was disorientated, worked through, and he came to a correct assessment. He came to a correct assessment of his heart state. He got that point of reference back. So when I was diving and I went down, I lost it. To get my point of reference, I had to turn around and go, "Oh, right, okay, yeah, see where I am now." That's what Jesus is. He's our anchor of the soul, Hebrews 7. This is what we need to do. So let's take a moment now. And if you're disorientated, focus on him. He's our life. He's our new orientation. And it's big stuff. And we've got eternity to think about. We've got eternity to come. Jesus is coming back to sort the world out. And we're a part of that. So let's just meditate. Let's just think through where you're at, where your heart is, and just orientate yourself. Maybe some of those scriptures we've read. If you want to read a scripture, read it. But maybe we could do that just for a couple of minutes. If anyone wants prayer, we can pray for you. So if you do, let us know, because we are in this together.